Greetings, folks. Mike Harding here from the Filmtastic Voyage with a special announcement regarding the following episode. Look, sometimes in life, you make some mistakes. Sometimes you fall down the stairs, sometimes you crash your car, and sometimes you accidentally set the input for the mics to the laptop mic instead of these nice expensive mics that I bought for the podcast. So the following episode is a quality episode. However, the sound quality is just a little bit different from what it usually is. Listen, give it like 10 minutes. You'll get used to it. And hey, just consider this next episode like the indie record of Filmtastic Voyage, or the punk rock album of Filmtastic Voyage. And we'll be back to our normal programming with our normal equipment for the next episode. Thank you.
I'm Alex Keller.
I'm Mike Harding.
And this is the Filmtastic Voyage. Filmtastic. I'm your host, Alex.
And I'm Mike.
And together, we're the Filmtastic Voyage.
We are a voyage. You and me, we're that concept called a voyage.
Indeed. So, Mike, how was your 4th of July?
My 4th of July? Listen, I had a four-day weekend.
Oh, fuck
Not
yeah.
bad.
I had to work on Monday, so I didn't have a four-day weekend. I didn't have to work, but I wanted to work. Because they were like, can you come in on Monday? You don't have to. I'm like, pfft. Man, I'll do whatever you want.
Hey, they call you the working man, you know?
Yeah. It's just,
locking up, 7-8.
Yeah.
Go to work at 9.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to continue the lyrics. I'm just going to let you have it.
That's all I remember. Hey, that's a Rush song. One of Alex's...
I'm for living, yeah. Anyways.
Just working all the time. Seems to me I could... Anyways, go ahead.
No, that's for the Rush podcast that we'll start eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you see the fireworks, see the explosions in the sky.
You know what I did? No. Because, you know, L.A.
That's why I'm asking.
L.A.'s just on fire, you guys, you know? And when the fireworks are going, L.A.'s just, it's just everywhere, right? So literally what I did is I took my roommates and we just plopped out some seats in the driveway here.
Mm-hmm.
And literally just sat there and watched like five different like fireworks performances going on.
Oh, nice.
On various parts of the town here.
I was fortunate enough to be invited to a party on top of a hill that overlooked like Eagle Rock and kind of La Pasadena, like that side of the valley.
Yeah.
And dude, it was the coolest thing I ever saw. Just everywhere across the whole valley, just pop, 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 fireworks, car alarms going off, dogs barking. It was great.
Well, listen, man, I would hope that you know, there was probably some rocking eagles. You know,
you
probably had a bald eagle rocking.
It was true. It was
Eagle Rock.
The most American thing I've ever seen.
Yeah,
single tear down my face.
Why do they call it Eagle Rock? Is there a rock that's shaped like an eagle?
Or maybe they blew it up for that college. I don't know.
Hmm. Okay. Well, yeah, it was good. I also went to this other thing called the Night Market. Have you heard of the Night Market?
That sounds scary. It's like, oh, go to the Night Market.
Well, it sounds kind of spooky, but it's this thing in Altadena, and it's like a bunch of food trucks and stands and stuff, and it's like weird shit.
Oh, I'm
like Japanese hot dogs.
Like the market, like the salesman from Resident Evil 4. He's like, what are you buying?
Anchovies, Doritos. Double mint gum?
I sell them at a low price.
It's the suspicious price of 50 cents for this bag of Doritos.
I keep them in my trench coat.
That'd be great.
Come over here to my attaché case.
That, I don't know why it reminds me of this, but there's this video game called Sneak King. Have you ever played that?
That's the Burger King video game.
That's the Burger King video game where you're the king, that creepy king from the commercials, and you run. You've played it, right?
I know of it. I've not played it.
You sneak up to people that are like when I played it on, you know, it was just in, like, a GameStop or something. But, like, you'll be, like, in a construction site. And there's people, there's construction workers working in this construction site. And you have to sneak up to them and then hand them a burger. And that's the game.
Yeah, I've seen people play it. I just remember that was notable because it was, like, basically like a Happy Meal toy, but a video game.
Yeah. It was actually a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, for a Happy Meal toy, I'm sure it's as much fun as it could be.
I want that Sneak King 2 Requiem and Sneak King 3 Resurrection.
Didn't they bring back that king as, like, the mascot? Didn't they get rid of him for being too creepy? Now he's back.
He's back, yeah.
Which is good, because I always like that. It's a good mascot.
He's creepy, but I like him. And I think it's sort of ripe for a showdown with Ronald McDonald at some point. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Have the two of them go at it.
There should
really
be some sort of, like, Marvel versus Capcom kind of game, but with, like, fast food mascots.
I feel like that's been...
I'm sure it's been done on the internet, but, like, a real game.
Yeah. That's right. I think someone made a mock-up of it.
Like, I think there's, like, an animated little thing or something.
Yeah.
It's not, like, a functional game.
And it had, like, the Noid. Remember the Noid?
And, I'm trying to avoid him.
Whenever he's walking down the street, you just sort of turn a corner. Yeah. Anyways, everybody, for anybody joining us for Filmtastic Voyage, the premise of the show is Alex and I, we look up a random movie and we use that as a springboard for conversation.
One quick thing I want to say, though, but going back to that party.
Sure.
In a house on top of a mountain, I would love to live on top of a mountain because I could have the perfect excuse to never go anywhere.
Yeah.
You're like, well, I could go and, like, go to this concert, but then I have to leave my house mountain.
Well, and then also you could just literally look down on people all the time.
I mean, I'm pretty tall. I already do that anyways.
All right. Fair enough.
Anyways, you want to get this a show on the road?
Yes. A special post-4th of July episode, although this is coming out next week. So.
Well, you could really consider most of our episodes to be post-4th of July.
That's right.
Fun fact, the Filmtastic Voyage is a post-July 4th, 2016 podcast.
Interesting.
Until now. Now it's a post-July 4th, 2017 podcast.
That's right.
And if we're talking about the 2012 post-apocalypse, then this is a post-apocalyptic podcast.
Indeed. Hey, we're coming up on a year here, man.
Yeah, soon. What is it? Episode 44, 45, something like that?
44.
That's like two fours.
Yeah.
Okay. So this first movie is a movie from a couple years ago. Big Oscar movie, Oscar season film. The Big Short.
Oh, The Big Short.
I saw that with my family on Christmas, because my family has kind of sort of a tradition where you go see a movie on Christmas, even though I feel like that started like 2 years ago.
Interesting.
So, I don't know. Either way, we saw that movie, and it was good, and yeah.
So, why don't we talk about this movie for anybody who doesn't know about
the synopsis.
The Big Short.
Let's read the synopsis. The official IMDb synopsis is... Four denizens of the world of high finance predict the credit and housing bubble collapse of the mid-2000s and decide to take on the big banks for their greed and lack of foresight.
That's right.
Directed by Adam McKay of Anchorman fame.
Really? That was him?
Yeah.
Wow. So for anybody who doesn't know, there was the 2008 housing crisis, and basically this movie has everything to do with that. Those are fun times.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's been almost 10 years since that shit happened?
Yep.
Jesus. I remember sitting in a classroom in college, this is probably back in 2009 or 2010, and the teacher's like, how many of your parents, were unemployed because of the recession? And, like, I was surprised, dude, there was, like, most of the people raising their hand.
Mm.
Like, holy shit, this is, like, a real thing right now.
I was thankfully, like, I'm not gonna say that, like, it didn't, well, I don't know, like, my parents were pretty quick to react and stuff, so.
Right.
They had lots of savings, and I guess they weren't too hurt by it. They were, you know, obviously worried, they told me later. But I was,
yeah.
You know, I was just like a little baby in high school at that time.
Oh, yeah.
So I kind of didn't know what was going on. I just knew the economy was fucked. But for some reason, I always felt like the economy was fucked anyways. Because, like, for, like, years I've been hearing, like, oh, man, the economy's fucked. So like, I didn't really hear about
the
big domino fall of the housing crisis. I just thought it was just another thing.
There were some other things going on, yeah, at a gradual pace that leading up to all that shit. But hey, I'm not an economist, and
nor do I ever want to be. I took a class in economics in college. I'm like, why would anyone want to be this? It's just every day. It's just like, oh, everything's collapsing. It's all going to happen. It's either
we're all fucked.
The
everybody.
Problem of being an economist is either everything's fucked or everything will be fucked eventually.
Yeah,
which sucks. It's like, oh man, I'd hate to just go to bed and be like, tomorrow it might all come crumbling down.
See, all I know is that there's bubbles, and those bubbles burst, and then we're all fucked.
You know what? Sometimes some bubbles.
I fucking hate bubbles.
No, I don't know. Some bubbles should burst, like that fucking student loan bubble. Waiting for that to burst.
Oh my god!
Get all that sweet student loan deals or whatever.
Right,
I don't know.
Yeah.
They're probably really bad.
You know what I love is people that think that people that have student loans, and it's usually older generations that are talking down on people my age. That are like, oh, you know, these millennials want their student loans to be, like, paid for and shit. What a bunch of lazy assholes. And then I just remember this specific conversation I had with this person, and then I come to find out that she just inherited a bunch of money from her parents and never has to work again and has a big house
mm-hmm.
and doesn't have to worry about any responsibilities. And I was like, huh. Well, I could counter-argue some points here, but I'll just let that be its thing. But – yeah, student loans.
You gotta do that,
fun
that,
times.
That classic Southern thing, like, bless your heart, and you walk away. And they're like, wait, what does that mean?
I've never heard of that.
Oh, that's a Southern thing.
Interesting.
I believe. I was talking to my cousin. My cousin graduated, she's like 33 now, maybe, something like that. She graduated, you know, a while ago then. And she was like, yeah, my student loans were like, they were like $10,000. Like, oh, that's bad. Like,
well, we won't discuss my student loans.
No,
but,
no, we're not going to do that.
Anyways, The Big Short.
The Big Short.
Christian Bale's last hurrah, possibly?
He was in The Promise, that Armenian Genocide Allegedly movie. I'm kidding. It obviously happened.
Right.
we're taking a stance here at the Film Tested Voyage, and it's something that has lots of documentation happening.
Yeah, we...
What?
No, I'm kidding. So yeah, I didn't see The Promise.
No, no one did.
Okay.
And then all the Turkish people gave it 1 star on IMDb.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because, whatever.
Highly inaccurate, probably, huh?
Whatever.
I don't know. Whatever.
I'm staying out of this conversation.
Yeah, me too. I don't know enough about the movies. So.
Anyways,
it has Batman in it. I know that.
And Poe Dameron.
And Poe Dameron.
And who was the female lead? I forget. Was it Rebecca Ferguson? Maybe.
See, I don't know, man.
Anyways, The Big Short is a movie about shorts and how
shorts.
Big they can be. I don't know. Steve Carell was good in that movie.
Steve Carell, I thought, was probably the best part of the movie.
I was really confused, actually, because I remember Ryan Gosling with his hair dyed dark. I was like, oh, cool. It's Bradley Cooper.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh. And like half of the movie, like, wait a second. That's not Bradley Cooper. I'm just racist.
You mean Bradley, the one that would have made a better Green Lantern Cooper?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, okay, I remember not seeing Ryan Gosling in anything very big for a little while, and then I saw him in The Big Short, and I'm like, oh, hey, he's back. Because before that, he was in those movies like Drive and whatever, the other one that the guy
Only God
made.
Forgives.
Only God Forgives, and like he was sort of just like under the
He was directing his own film,
bit.
I think.
Yeah.
He directed a movie, I forget what it was called, but no one really liked it.
How'd that go? Well, no one liked it, huh?
Yeah. I think he tried to make a Nicholas Winding Refn-esque movie, and his people were like, eh.
Huh. Interesting. Him and Chris Evans trying to go off and make their own movies, and then they realize, oh, shit.
Wasn't Chris Evans, wasn't he going to be like, yeah, I want to be Captain America forever, and then he made a movie that got bad reviews, and then like the next interview was like, yeah, I want to be Captain America for like, you know, at least five more movies.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah.
That I still honestly feel like, because his contract was going to be up after the third Captain America movie, and I honestly think they were probably going to kill him off in that movie originally.
Well, maybe, yeah.
Because Civil War, the comic, he gets killed at the end.
Yeah, and then his old pal Bucky becomes Captain America.
Yeah, and I had heard something like the guy who plays Bucky, I forget, what's his name?
Sebastian Stan.
Yeah, Sebastian Stan. Sebastian Stan.
Sebastian.
He's like, you know, he has a contract through like 2028.
A 10 film contract or something.
Yeah, like until like 2028 or something.
Well, good for him.
They're going to be running that guy ragged.
I was reading a thing where it's like, yeah, Avengers 4 will be the end of a 22 movie arc. I'm like, 22 movies?
Yeah.
That's quite an arc. I mean, it's getting to the point where like, Avengers 2, whatever, seen the Avengers before, but now it's like, oh man, like, we're having like team ups where we get all these team ups together to make a super team up. And that's,
dude, I love it.
It's starting to get interesting again.
Because they're doing it the way they do it in comics, and that's honestly what I'm looking forward to, is just like, because in comics they have these big events where all, you know, the whole universe is trapped in this one story arc together, and it's like, oh shit, the movies are like going for it, and that's really cool.
Do you think they'll try to reboot the Marvel Cinematic Universe eventually, but do it really shittily, and then have to unreboot it eventually? Because didn't they do that? Didn't Marvel do that one time with like Heroes Reborn or whatever?
Well, there was like Ultimate Marvel.
Well, that was like a spinoff. I thought like they did like a hard line reboot, kind of where everything's like different, and then they undid it because it was stupid.
That might have been.
You could also say like the New 52, kind of where DC rebooted all their stuff for a few years, and then they went back to the old continuity.
Yeah, and then there's like Marvel Now and stuff. I mean, that whole thing, I don't know. That's where comics sort of get a little bit annoying.
That's why I imagine when they run out of ideas, that's what's going to happen. They'll do a hard reboot with all new actors, and then they'll be like, oh shit, people don't care anymore. Quick, get Robert Downey Jr. as old Iron Man.
Right.
And then you'll have your fucking multiverse.
It'll be a Sean Connery James Bond situation.
Oh god, I can't imagine that.
And then it'll be like an unlicensed Iron Man movie where it's Robert Downey Jr. as a 70-year-old.
I heard whisperings of a James Bond cinematic universe.
I hope they don't do that.
No, but I don't. People don't understand the concept of the cinematic universe is cool because you have a team up.
Right.
And if you won't have things that are worthy of a team up, then there's no point.
Well, yeah. All those things have to exist on their own first and be likable and then come together.
You can have like a Quentin, like you can have a series of things like Quentin Tarantino, like all of his movies are connected. Like that's as much as you need.
Right.
You don't need to meet like I don't know, like James Bond will hook up with this guy and then we'll do like a mission, like whatever.
Listen, don't you want all the Samuel Jacksons from every different Quentin Tarantino movie to be in a room together saving the day from fucking Chitauri aliens?
Most of them are dead except for Jules.
Oh, yeah. I guess, yeah.
Let's see.
Well, what about Jackie Brown? Did that guy die?
Yo, he died, yeah.
Okay. I just remember him having sex. No. That was De Niro. Yeah, that's
right.
He
died, too.
Yeah. Anyway.
So did Bruce Bond. Let's see. He died in Kill Bill. He died in Django Unchained. He died in Hateful Eight, probably.
I think he did.
That's the 1850s. He'd be dead by then, or the 1870s, whenever that movie takes place.
Right.
Post Civil War.
You're one of the hateful haters, right?
Yeah, it's not hater. It's just like it ran out of steam.
Right.
After the intermission, it kind of just never quite got there again.
Listen, I was just happy to see Kurt Russell in a good movie, and I was just. You know, I was just eating that shit up, man. It was like candy. You know what I mean?
He's been in lots of good movies. He's been in those Fast and Furious movies. He was in
Sky High.
No, not Sky High. Although I heard he's fun in that. Wasn't he in something recently? Some Kurt Russell vehicle? Not Bone Tomahawk.
Well, there was fucking Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Oh, I guess that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, he was a incorrigible son of a bitch in that movie.
Yeah, indeed.
Banging all kinds of women.
Have you seen Bone Tomahawk?
No.
People keep talking about how great it is and also how gory it is in like past.
Right. Is it, but it's Kurt Russell?
Mm-hmm.
Goring it up? A gore
fest?
No,
he's not. He's got a mustache in it, though.
Is he twirling it?
No, I think he's the hero.
Oh, okay. Well, that's too bad.
Yeah. I should see Tombstone. Speaking of Kurt Russell.
Yeah,
Westerns.
Listen, dude. Kurt Russell and Val Kilmer at the height of their powers.
Kurt Russell ghost directed that movie.
I did not know that.
Yeah, apparently the director got fired and Kurt Russell just directed it behind the scenes or something like that.
I think he'd be very easy to work with that. You know what I mean? Like if Kurt Russell gets mad at you when he's trying to direct you, you know it's for a good reason.
No, he's calling. He's not mad at you. He's like, hey, buddy. He's putting your arm around you. He's like, why don't we try it this way?
It's like a real slow burn, you know?
Yeah.
Or like, yeah, he puts his arm around your shoulder, but then his other arm, like the thumb just goes like right in your ass.
Oh, if he's trying to insult you, then yeah. I watched a movie with him recently. It was a documentary starring him called The Battered Bastards of Baseball, where apparently he played minor league baseball for a few years.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and his dad owned the team.
Well, he was a child actor.
Yeah. Well, he was a child actor. He took a break to play some baseball, and then it was kind of funny because in like the Where Are They Now, it's like, and Kurt Russell is like history's greatest actor.
History's greatest actor.
Or whatever it says.
Kurt Russell.
You know, whatever it says, the little post, like the little Where Are They Now thing.
Yeah. Now, Kurt Russell, I mean, this might be a dumb question, but he's never received any kind of awards
or anything,
right?
He's a movie
right?
star. He's not an actor.
Okay, so between Val Kilmer and Kurt Russell, because those were two primetime beefcakes in Tombstone, who's the better actor?
I guess Val Kilmer.
I'm thinking Val Kilmer,
he's done more dramatic roles.
He's Jim Morrison in the Doors movie.
He was in Heat.
And then he was Gay Perry in the Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Oh, that fucking movie's so good.
Yeah.
Now he does something. Directs? He's Mark Twain on Broadway or something?
He's Mark Twain on Broadway?
No, I'm not making that up.
Wow.
I don't know.
He's an artisan of his craft.
Hey, yeah. No, but Kurt Russell's, who's his charm? He's a charm machine. He just cranks it out.
One's like a fancy dinner, and another one's like a everyday staple.
Mm. Kurt Russell is like the best hamburger you could ever buy. It's just, oh man, this is just so comforting and great and delicious.
Listen, Kurt Russell is In-N-Out Burger.
No, In-N-Out.
Well, no, listen. Kurt Russell's In-N-Out Burger. And Val Kilmer is like Five Guys, where it's like, this is a delicious burger. There's peanuts here for some reason. I don't know why.
I would say if
I like it.
Burgers, and Kurt Russell is Five Guys, because Five Guys is the most delicious burger. It's simple, to the point, it's great, I love it.
And they give you as many mushrooms as you want.
And then fucking Val Kilmer's like, umami burger. It's like, oh, this burger's covered with truffles and pineapple, and it's like kind of weird.
And sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's really bad.
Yeah, sometimes it's good, sometimes it sucks, and sometimes it's dripping something, but.
And sometimes it's like unusually overweight for about 5 years, and then it slims back down.
Yeah,
just like yeah. Sorry,
not like Kurt Russell.
Sorry, Val Kilmer. Anyways,
yeah.
No. But yeah, what the hell were we even talking about?
About The Big Short.
The Big Short. Okay, so I thought Christian Bale was pretty damn good in this movie.
He was good. I think he got nominated for an Oscar. I think, which is dumb because I hate when one actor gets nominated. Out of an ensemble movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like when Mark Ruffalo got nominated for Spotlight, even though, like, he
didn't do anything.
Yeah, he did the same amount of stuff to do in that movie as everyone else.
All he did is stand around
it's because
and
he had
Mark
he,
Ruffalo.
It's because he had the yelly scene, and because he had the scene where he yelled, he got nominated for that Oscar. It's like, oh, well, he's yelling. They must mean he's angry.
Listen, that movie is a fine movie, but
I thought it was a fantastic movie.
See, this is where I'd say, like, hey, Spotlight is a good movie, but Oscar, like, didn't it get Best Picture?
It was like, it won two awards.
I disagree with Best Picture.
It was a weak year, though, really.
Yeah.
Because of like that, The Revenant, Room, it's like, not, I say like they're not good, those aren't good, but The Revenant.
Well, wasn't Fury like, Road in there?
Oh, yeah, that's...
See, I would have gotten...
Yeah,
I know
it, Fury Road, yeah.
And that's not Oscar-baity at all, right?
I would have gone
like,
because it was
Oscars.
The best movie of the year.
Yeah.
It won all the other awards. Basically, that was like, it would have been like a repeat of Return of the King, except that year they weren't feeling like it. That year they're like, oh man, we're going to give all these technical and costume and VFX awards to Fury Road, but not Best Director, Best Picture.
They're still licking their wounds over Return of the King.
No, I think that. I think everyone agrees that Return of the King is a fucking amazing film and
deserves
every all 11 Oscars that it won.
Hey, dude, that Undead Army swoop, that's what got the award. That fucking, it's like... That undead army swoop, you know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
where they come in, they just kill everybody.
They swoop that elephant, yeah.
That's like when you pause a game and then you type in a cheat code and then it just sends you to the next level. That's what that is.
Mm.
Like, there was Aladdin for Sega Genesis and SNES, and you would press pause and you go A, B, B, A, B, B, A, and then it would transport you to the next level.
Ababa?
Yeah.
Prince Ababa.
And that's the undead army.
Yep, basically. That I mean, like I said, like I just finished watching all the rewatching for like the fourth time all the bonus features. And did you know that Weta Digital delivered as many shots as the entirety of the Fellowship of the Ring in 6 weeks for Return of the King?
Wait, say that again.
So basically, Fellowship of the Ring had like 550 digital effect shots in it, and Return of the King had like 1,500. And they and in the last 6 weeks, they had delivered 550 digital effect shots in 6 weeks.
Holy shit!
And it looks as good as it does.
That's in 6 weeks.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Well, yeah, in the documentary, you see how everyone's fucking dying.
I hope they got paid real well for that.
Hope so, yes.
Yeah, because,
well, hey, Weta Digital's on the map. They put him on the map. Weta Digital's the best thing. Recently, we watched... I recently, finally, finally, fucking finished the old Planet of the Apes movie, and I watched the two new ones, and Jesus fucking Christ, those monkeys look so good.
In the new ones?
That's Weta Digital. Yeah. And apes, not
my I would be surprised but, if you were saying they look good in the old ones.
No, they look terrible. Well, maybe the first one.
So did you see the whole series of old ones?
Yeah.
Interesting. Are any of them good except for the first one?
No.
Okay, that's what I would assume. That first one's fucking good, though.
No, it's fine. It's good. It's all right. It's
yeah.
old. You know, it's an old
Cornelius?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Dr. Zaius?
Yeah, Dr. Zaius. You got
the lady? Mystic. The
wife? What's
her face? What was it? Cornelius' wife or something? Didn't they kiss or something?
No, that's the Tim Burton one you're thinking of.
Oh, that's right. They kissed in the Tim
Wait,
Burton
I think
one.
It's Helena Bonham Carter, ape.
Well, Tim Burton.
Yeah. Well, not anymore.
I'm going to, what do you mean?
They divorced.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
When did they divorce?
Celebrity gossip. I don't know. Eventually.
Eventually?
Yeah, eventually a while ago. You know what?
no wonder they never made that Sweeney Todd, too.
Yeah, well, for other reasons also.
Right.
Well, it's probably why, like, Eva Green's kind of replaced her, it seems.
Oh. Huh.
Well, I don't know. I think, has Eva Green been in more movies than... Either way, Eva Green's kind of a similar weird, quirky character actress.
Now, let me ask you this. Because this is always something that, like, this always comes up in my mind whenever I think of Luc Besson.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Besson.
The Fifth Element director, uh-huh. The professional. Now, he...
Lucy,
everybody's favorite, Lucy.
I love how they put that on the...
Valerian.
Director of Lucy.
Yeah, you could take that right off.
Selling it. Anyways.
I feel like I started watching Lucy, and then I just turned it off after maybe 20 minutes. I feel like that happened. Anyways, so my question to you is, like when a director suddenly starts having some young female actress in a bunch of his movies... And then you realize that, oh, they're a couple now. Oh, they're married now. And then they divorce, and then, like, she's no longer in his movies, or vice versa, whatever. Although I can't think of any cases where it has been vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that kind of sleazy to be like, hey, I'm a director. I want her to be in my movie.
By nepotism? Or...
And then it's like, hey, how about after the shoot we go and have some drinks or something?
It's creepy, yeah.
Yeah, it's just
like what happened with the director of, the Ghost in the Shell, his most recent film, and Kristen Stewart in Snow White.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, what happened with...
They had a scandalous affair.
What was the other one you mentioned?
Ghost in the Shell?
The Scarlett Johansson?
No, I'm just trying to think of... I couldn't remember the name of Snow White and the Huntsman, so I just went to his most recent film.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so that director had an affair with...
Kristen Stewart. On the set of Snow White.
Okay.
The whole thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's weird. I find it creepy.
That's funny.
I mean, like, it's fine to have a muse, though, I think. An actor, like, you know, like...
She's my muse.
Because this guy is Leo, you know? And
Yeah.
It's not... I don't think it's... It wouldn't... It's not fair to say, like, a male director couldn't have a female lead in all of his movies.
Well, no. I mean, it's one thing to have a professional... inspirational
working
relationship. It's another thing to be like. I just wonder how
like
many of these guys.
Paul W.S. Anderson is like you know always puts Mila Jovovich in those Resident Evil movies.
Exactly because they're married, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I know
even though she's the main character,
right?
She has to be, but
yeah. But anyways, I'm just curious in what cases it's like you're some director and you're just like, hey, I'm attracted to you. So you're going to be in my movies now.
I would honestly, if I was in her shoes, I'd be less attracted to my husband because he makes shitty movies.
Yeah. Are we talking about, well, whatever.
What, Resident Evil movies?
Or? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Because Luc Besson was on a kind of a low point for...
Oh, did they have a thing?
Him and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know the whole thing. Okay.
I know they made up a weird language together.
This is okay.
They make up some other things together, if you know what I'm saying.
Here's the thing, and I actually, this is the actual story behind this.
Okay.
This is not just me embellishing some bullshit that I read off of a toilet paper.
Are you clickbaiting, bro?
Fifth Element, right?
Yeah. There were five elements.
There was...
The fifth one's love.
You remember that lady that sings the opera thing?
Yeah.
The big blue lady?
Yeah.
That was Luc Besson's wife... When they were filming this movie, that was Luc Besson's wife.
And I heard the opera singer was actually singing most of that song.
Right.
Which is interesting.
And
to me.
She was like, she's like 10 years younger than Luc Besson. It's like, it was something where he's like, he was 30 and she was 20 or something.
That sounds
right?
French.
Yeah. And then he and Mila,
Jovovich,
had an affair,
uh-huh.
and then got married 6 months after the movie wrapped.
Uh-huh.
And that's that story.
I think James Cameron married Linda Hamilton shortly after Terminator 2. So,
really?
Situation. And then divorced promptly. He also married Kathryn Bigelow and divorced. And some other woman who was...
I didn't know that he was married to Kathryn Bigelow.
Yeah, that's often referenced.
Wait, James Cameron... Okay, so when he was filming Aliens,
mm-hmm.
who was he married to?
I don't know. I think just his producer, whose name I can't remember.
So he's just been married all over the place.
Yeah.
Switching all around.
I imagine he's very demanding.
Well, yeah, he's James Cameron. James Cameron does what James Cameron does because he...
James Cameron is James Cameron.
He's...
I always find it very funny to me. It's very funny to me how people are like, oh, man, Avatar 2 is going to suck. And it's like, really? Really? At this point, really?
I know.
Rather, Avatar 2 is going to be a big bomb. Like, really? You think it's going to make no money?
And then
really?
The trailer will come out and it'll be this big, innovative, breathtaking thing, and then everybody will forget all their complaints and then go out and see it, including myself.
I always find it, well, tracking Avatar back in the day was always very funny to me because it was like, oh, this is going to suck. Oh my God, it's going to be great. Oh, it's going to be terrible. Oh my God, it's going to be great. And then it came out and, like, it was this weird hype thing, like a, what do you call it, like a wavelength.
So here we are, like, 10 years out from, almost 10 years out
eight
from
years.
The first
almost 8 years
movie.
From Avatar 1, yeah.
Is it safe to assume that it's going to be another 8 years after the second movie comes out?
No, they announced the production schedule, I think.
Okay, are you just filming this shit back to back?
Yeah, they're all back to back. I think they're doing
Lord of the Rings style?
I think they're doing like, it's been a while, I forgot the announcement, but they announced it. I think it was like 2020 Avatar 2, 2021 Avatar 3, like 2024 Avatar 4, 2025 Avatar 5, something like that.
Wow.
So they're taking them. There's gonna be like two movies back to back, a break, and then two more movies back to back, or something like that.
And Sam Worthington's gonna be in all those.
Oh, probably. They're casting up. There's more actresses coming in.
You know what I would do
.
If I was Sam Worthington, and then James Cameron's like, hey, we're making three more of these.
Four more.
Four more of these, and you have work. Hey, man, you just have, like, steady, really good work for the next, 8 years, 10 years, whatever. I would go to the ATM. I would withdraw $100 in 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would take two slices of bread. I'd put those $20 bills in that slice of bread, in those slices of bread. I'd eat it, and then I'd be shitting money.
Okay, yeah. Actually, but it's not so out of the question. I know there are some VFX artists I heard about who they have like 5-year contracts.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Huh.
Or something like that.
So when you're locked into that kind of contract, you basically is it the idea you can't get fired?
I think James Cameron's notorious for being like, this animation sucks, you're fucking fired.
Oh,
get out
yeah.
my face.
Get out my face. Listen, when I was in the bottom of the ocean, all right, I saw better water effects than what you fuckers just produced.
Well, I mean, of course, that's realistic.
Exactly.
I heard a story, I'm going to keep it vague, that James Cameron once, for a long time ago, once was displeased with this one animator's work, and they demanded, he's like, "This, you get to fire this guy. Get him out of here." And the company wouldn't do that because they liked his work and they liked him. So anytime James Cameron was in the building, he had to go to a different room.
That's funny. Or they just like, hey, man, just take the day off. You got that James Cameron privilege.
I was like, James Cameron's coming. Just go in the corner.
Go ahead and like go in the bathroom stall and sort of just sit on the toilet until we text you. And then come back.
Man, I feel so bad for disappointing James Cameron.
Oh, you know what, dude?
I mean, like, it's inevitable for me.
I honestly think, like, okay, it's great to be a perfectionist and everything, but have some fucking humanity.
Well, he might have calmed down since then.
Yeah.
That might have been, I think that was a long time ago.
Like, just imagine how easy it is to look at, like, some work that you're not happy with or whatever, right? And just lose your temper about it. Or you could be like, okay, How about we just, like, solve the problem?
Well, I don't know the full story, because maybe this particular case, the artist had gone through, like, 4 or 5 iterations or something, maybe, and then after a while, James Cameron's like, that's it.
Yeah, that could be
it. So, I have no idea. This is all hearsay, also. This is stuff I've heard from, like, secondhand sources.
If I was James Cameron, and if I met an animator that I didn't like, I'd be like, listen, man, animation's not your calling, but you know it is. Deep sea exploration.
Anyways, spot gonna... in the poop deck. Get on my boat.
Listen, I want you on my ship. You're gonna work your way up from swabbing the poop deck in the deep sea.
All right.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, Mike. So if James Cameron went up to you right now and it's like, hey, Mike, quit your job, come swab my poop deck. Would you do it?
Is he speaking metaphorically or is he speaking literally?
No, he's like, come work on my boat, my deep sea exploring vessel boat.
Oh, fuck yeah.
You go work on his boat. You'd rather be
fucking
sailor than whatever you're doing.
Dude, yes.
You'd rather work for James Cameron on his boat. Okay.
Listen, put that on your resume, all right? I worked on the SS Cameron and saw some shit that you people wouldn't believe.
I'd like to think that James Cameron will be the one that discovers Cthulhu.
He opens up the portal.
Yeah, or like he discovers the Pacific Rim portal.
Or the Chitauri portal.
Yeah, any of them.
Or the whatever stupid Doctor Doom portal.
Or the hatch from Lost. That's not a thing.
The hatch.
Right?
Yeah. I can imagine, yeah, if anybody's to screw us over with some multi-dimensional beings or something, it'd be James Cameron. But it would be a great time. Mm-hmm. It'd be a great time.
We would document it, though. It'd be cameras rolling.
Yeah. Do it as long as he does it on the East Coast and not on the West Coast, I'm fine.
You know what I was thinking the other day? Huh. East versus West. No one has ever said, man, let's just go east, just keep driving until we hit the East Coast. No one says that. No one's ever said that.
Well, because you never want to go back east. You always want to go out west.
Yeah, but like people who are born like you, you're born out west. All you have to go is east.
If I was to like restart my life or something, I probably would not go east.
You go slightly east. I think the idea is because there's so much space in the west. Obviously,
yeah.
I understand the real reasons, but it's just funny because everyone's like, let's just keep going. We're going to go into the west and diminish.
Yeah.
No one
yeah.
ever goes into the east.
Well, I mean, at one point, I feel like it was considered the frontier, and I think in a lot of ways, it sort of has that culture still.
It does still, but also, but like having driven through the west, there's still nothing in the west.
Right.
So for like between like the California coast and like the Midwest, there's huge stretches of desert and
right.
plains and mountains
yeah.
and nothing, which is awesome, and everyone should see it.
And, you know, I mean, even California, like, listen, you got the Bay Area and you got the greater Los Angeles area, but outside of that...
In San Diego,
I'm sorry. I mean, but outside of that, dude, it's like a bunch of farms.
Yeah.
Like, everywhere.
Orange farms.
Yeah.
I drove up north for Memorial Day, saw them orange farms.
Oh, yeah.
It's orchards.
Did you pluck one?
No. There was a guy on the road doing that, though.
Oh, okay.
There's no fences. You can just go up there and steal all the oranges.
Yeah. Hey, why don't we jump on to the next one?
I mean, like, do you have any finishing thoughts on The Big Short, though? I feel like we barely talked about it.
Well, The Big Short, I mean, it was an excellent movie. I mean, I feel like that's sort of like Best Picture material, you know?
I guess so. I think I wouldn't have been upset if it won. I thought it did a pretty good job of explaining finances to me, which I'm easily lost by. I thought the weakest one of like the asides, right?
Uh-huh.
And I thought the one where Margot Robbie is like, here, I'm in a bathtub explaining things. I'm like, this is not helpful. You're just telling
oh.
me. But then it got more helpful because they used a little visual. Like,
right.
Here's some Jenga pieces. Or like, here's like where to roulette table. And this is like, it's like, oh, I get it. Thanks, you know, visual metaphors.
The informative stuff I thought was very clever. I mean, you know.
I think they're doing that, and McKay et al. Are doing like another kind of thing soon. Check on that.
Sure.
Because it seemed interesting. Like another kind of like, oh, we're going to take down the banks. Except this time we're taking down something else. Oh, yeah, he's doing an untitled Dick Cheney project.
Oh, that's starring Christian Bale as Dick Cheney, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Which is super weird. Yeah, I remember looking that up. It's
and,
like, whoa, Dick Cheney is Christian Bale's Dick Cheney?
Yeah, and rumored Steve Carell is Donald Rumsfeld.
Oh, my God.
How fun. Like I told you two weeks ago, I have worked firsthand on some Dick Cheney projects. So
interesting.
Might be interesting to see that from that perspective.
Wow. Can you imagine, like, Steve Carell and Christian Bale having any conversation?
Do they not in Big Short? Do they not meet?
I don't think they meet, no.
I forget. You mean, like, in real life, though?
Like, in real life, when they're off the set. Like, I can imagine that would just be... Because their personalities are, like, totally different.
I can imagine Christian Bale only getting along with people like Tom Hardy.
Right.
Maybe, like, an Adam Driver. Like, actors who don't talk ever.
Yeah.
Just kind of, like, airing their crap and don't want to
stoic.
Hang out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Steve Carell would crack a joke, and Christian Bale just stares at him with a scowl. Yeah.
It's fun watching, like, the Star Wars behind-the-scenes features where, like, you know, Daisy Ridley and John Boyega are like, oh, my God, it was, like, so great. And Adam Driver was just like, yeah, it was really hard. You know, acting's a really, really, you know, serious business. It's like, he seems fun.
Right, yeah.
I mean, like, he seems like he's a very focused guy.
Yeah.
Which is fine. He was a Marine, so he deserves to be.
He's just disciplined.
Did you hear that John Boyega would just randomly give him hugs in the episode of Episode 8? Because he's like, come on, man, lighten up, and he just give him a hug.
Wow, interesting.
And he would be like...
Trouble on the set, huh?
Not trouble, but... Because, like, well, they always wanted to come, like, come on, get lunch with us, come on, man. He'd be like, no.
I wonder which one of them did cocaine runs before filming.
You think they're doing coke on the set of Episode 8?
No, what I'm saying is, like, you know, like Harrison Ford in the 80s.
Oh, in the 80s.
Doing a cocaine run before, you know, every movie shoot or whatever.
Cocaine's kind of dead, isn't it? I thought that isn't there, like, a new drug? There's probably some drug I don't even know about.
Hear heroin has come back.
Ooh.
Which is like, hey, if we're talking, like, 90s nostalgia and how that's coming back, holy shit. I mean,
I just been hearing about opioids. Oh, there's opioids.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, basically, like, Oxycontin is... Well, this is not... we shouldn't talk about this on the... Yeah. Anyways. Why don't we jump to the next movie?
Yeah, next one. Also, by the way, folks, I know nothing about drugs.
Same here, yeah.
So, this is not the right place.
This is a clean environment, everybody.
Yeah.
We're not in some warehouse with just a red light on the ceiling and a bunch of people...
Yeah, it's an orange light.
Yeah, it's an orange light.
Anyways, the next movie is a movie we already kind of sort of mentioned briefly, and it's the same year as... Was it? No, whatever. It's Room.
Oh... Not to be confused with The Room.
No.
But you're talking about Brie Larson's
Room with a little kid and Scoot McNairy.
I know, you said you loved it.
Yeah, it was great. Well,
and I know I said I didn't see it.
Okay, well then.
Yeah,
anyways,
so let's talk.
Room is... Well, that's a short one. A young boy is raised within the confines of a small shed. That's all it says.
Now, I know what this movie is based on.
It's based on a book.
But it's based on a real
the book's
event.
Based on real events, or maybe
I saw some documentary about what, you know, the real thing that happened.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically this guy had. So, well, why don't you talk about
it?
Because you saw the movie.
Well, you didn't finish your story.
Well, okay, so it's based on this guy that had, I think, like a wives or wife.
It's what I think it is. You think he had a couple of people,
right? And then he impregnated, I guess, one of them or multiple one. I don't know.
Yeah, well, he's in prison or dead.
But he would kidnap these people and basically start these families, and then they were just confined to his property or whatever, his shed, I guess. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's real creepy.
Real creepy. But
thankfully, the movie Room is not really about that.
Interesting.
Well, like...
Is that like the twist at the end?
No, that kind of thing is... The Room part of Room is the first act.
Oh, okay.
And then the second and third act of Room is kind of this little kid and is sort of getting used to the world.
Oh,
which
okay.
Which is much, much more interesting. Not interesting, but it's much more... It's relieving to watch.
So it's more of like the Adventures of Kimmy Schmidt kind
of
thing.
I guess it's a coming-of-age sort of thing. Yeah, it's a Kimmy Schmidt kind of thing, but less funny.
Well, yeah.
But yeah,
hopefully.
It's just this little kid kind of like, you know, getting used to what it is to be a little kid in the world and all stuff, and also at the same time Brie Larson being like, everything sucks and I hate my life.
Right.
And then her kind of being like, well, you know, her getting over that and kind of adjusting. It's about, like, it's all these family stuff, and you got the fucking amazing William H. Macy shows up briefly.
Oh, cool.
And it's like, oh, geez, all these good actors. It's really good. You should watch it.
Yeah.
It's not a fun watch. It's not like a riveting time, but, like, it's a very good movie.
Right. I imagine it's a drama.
Yeah, Brie Larson deserved that Oscar and then some, and I'm glad she won that.
Cool. I mean, she's going to be... Captain Marvel one of these days, right?
Captain Marvel soon. I mean, she was in King Kong, but, like, no one did anything in that movie, unfortunately.
Well, some people did. She didn't.
Yeah, she was not really necessary.
Yeah.
I'm glad she's there. I mean, even when she's in a movie, like, I saw Free Fire, she's fine. She's good in that. I mean, it's a good movie.
Oh, yeah. God, I forgot to see that. Yeah, I remember the trailer for that looking really good.
It's not like the trailer. It's a lot slower.
Oh.
It's a lot less raucous.
But still good.
It's good. Yeah, it's good. It's like 3 stars.
Yeah. That's cool.
It's got Armie Hammer. He's fun.
I have no... You know, honestly, I have no real stance on Armie Hammer.
He's a guy who I just want to succeed.
Why?
I don't know. I just like him. He's got charm.
He's a... Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I've even seen him in anything.
Not even The Social Network?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He was 2 people in that movie.
Right. Okay, yeah. No, he was, he was good in that. He was in Lone Ranger.
Lone Ranger.
I heard that was a bust.
He's, I think nowadays he's gone to some more supporting roles, which is, I think he's a good supporting actor also, really.
Right.
Like, he doesn't need to carry a picture necessarily. He can, he's like a Charlie Hunnam type. He can just be in the background and be good. Although, he could carry a movie, I suppose, if you need him to.
He
and Charlie Hunnam could hook up and do a buddy cops. Be buddy cops.
He was going to be, buddy cops. Charlie Hunnam doesn't have enough enthusiasm for a buddy cop.
That's why they're like, you got fun, charming, witty Armie Hammer in one corner, and then stoic, serious,
flatlining
Charlie Hunnam in the other. I like Charlie Hunnam, but he's a serious kind of guy.
He's a very, I mean, his shtick is sort of being the vessel, the empty vessel audience protagonist.
I liked that King Arthur movie. I thought that was tons of fun.
Yeah, I mean, that was good. Like you said, it was maybe 20 minutes too long.
A bit too long, but it was good. Yeah, it was good. Better than a lot of movies I've seen this summer. You know, this is probably a bad thing to say, but I would rather rewatch King Arthur than I would rewatch Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Which is not to say Wonder Woman is a better movie. Hands down, but...
Well, yeah, I mean,
in terms of fun.
In terms of fun, yeah. I don't know. I know we've talked about Wonder Woman quite a bit. It's definitely a good... Wonder Woman's a fine movie, but yeah, I agree. I feel like King Arthur probably had a little bit more going on.
I'd rather watch... I'd rather watch Baby Driver over both of them.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, it was a great movie.
Hey! Here's a movie that we both saw, Baby Driver.
It's fucking fantastic.
Well,
I thought it was fucking fantastic.
Before we talk about this, though, do we want to tie any bows or tie any knots or tape up any fucking corners?
There's nothing to talk about, Room.
Yeah, I mean, there's Room and The Room, and they're both good.
Yeah, sure.
Double feature.
Now, Room is a movie I would recommend you checking out, but there's not much to say other than great performances, great direction, great everything.
Yeah. And not much else to say about The Room, except, you know, it's...
The movie's bad. I'm looking forward to that James Franco movie, though.
Yeah, so is that, like, in film festivals right now?
That has been... They snagged it up. It's coming out Oscar season. It's an
really?
Oscar season release.
That's surprising.
I've heard great things about it.
Me too. And he and his brother's in it, right?
Yeah,
apparently he
directed it in character, I heard.
Oh, my God. But his brother is playing Mark, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... See, now that's a perfect Christmas present for your parents right there.
Nice
hey,
little...
me and my brother made this movie about The Room, and it's Oscar bait.
Yep, and it's got Bryan Cranston in it.
Bryan Cranston?
I think maybe as himself.
Oh, yeah.
Or something. Maybe I heard that wrong.
By the way, Greg Sestero, the guy who played Mark and Tommy Wiseau, are coming out with this new movie. And man... They're trying to redo the magic, but it just looks dumb.
Yeah, that's what happens.
And not even good bad. It just looks lame.
Whenever someone tries to make something bad on purpose, it becomes real bad.
Yeah,
there's never good bad.
No. So whatever. Yeah, it's about like a car and some shit. I don't know.
Yep.
Anyway, so
speaking of cars,
Alex, Baby Driver.
Yep.
What'd you think?
That was great.
Yeah.
Really loved it.
Where do you put it in the spectrum of Edgar Wright?
That's kind of tough. I think my top Edgar Wright is Hot Fuzz and Scott Pilgrim are on the tippy top.
Yeah,
for me,
I agree.
Maybe below that, maybe above World's End and Shaun of the Dead.
Really?
Maybe, because I like World's End. I have to rewatch it. It's been a while. Shaun of the Dead, like I said, is a great movie, but I don't like zombies very much. I have trouble watching it.
Well, Shaun of the Dead has this really harsh tonal shift.
Yeah, exactly.
Halfway through the movie. And I remember even just the first time seeing it, I'm like, wow, this just got real dark. Like his mom turns into a zombie and his friend gets out the window with the guts. And yeah. It's like, holy shit. What? Like, damn. But, in terms of Baby Driver, I thought it was a really great movie.
Yeah.
Like, but if we're putting it on the Edgar Wright spectrum and sort of comparing it to Edgar Wright films, it sort of lacked a little bit of that momentum that Edgar Wright movies have.
See, I don't mind that. I don't mind that it lacked Edgar Wright's kind of frenetic energy.
Okay.
Because not all of his movies need to have that kind of, like, bop, 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 bop pace.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it felt less like an Edgar Wright movie, but it was still a really
good
movie.
I thought it was
very
Edgar Wright still, with the way that the music was influencing the cuts and the way that, like, you know, the slot, like the first scene with the music on the walls and all that.
Yeah, that was great, yeah.
So it still felt very Edgar Wright to me.
The cast was perfect.
Great cast.
Kevin Spacey, Flea was in there, which
yeah.
I thought was fun.
He's always fun when he shows up. I know how much you like Flea.
The guy that plays the Punisher, I forget that guy's name.
Yeah, John something. John B. something.
I was hoping that the two of them would come back somehow towards the end of the movie or something, but basically
we should
just
try to keep it spoiler light, too.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, everybody. Whatever. Forget what I said.
That's not really a spoiler. It's a character, like a side
yeah.
character doesn't really come back.
Right. They were more cameos.
It was more cameos,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to really
Kevin Spacey's
spoil anything.
Pretty great.
Kevin Spacey was, I felt, more Kevin Spacey than Kevin Spacey's been in a while.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
I haven't seen House of Cards, so I wouldn't know.
House of Cards is great, but it
I heard it's gotten kind of bad, though.
Well, it jumped the shark, I think. And, I mean, obviously this is a spoiler, but this is a spoiler from 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Once he becomes president, I feel like...
I'm not going to watch it.
Once he becomes president, I feel like the series sort of has nowhere to go. And
yeah.
That's sort of what happened.
You got to kind of... Sometimes when shows like that, you got to end him on the throne, and you take a nice dolly out, and then the show ends. That's how you end shows like that.
Well,
sometimes.
No, I agree. I agree. But the other thing about that is like, what I was expecting the progression of the show to be was to be, here's this guy that's breaking all these rules and breaking all these laws and like...
Looking at the camera.
And looking at the camera.
Breaking all sorts of film rules, too.
In some instances, I mean, like, you know, he kills someone, like all kinds of shit, right? The impression I had was, is he was going to finally make his way up to the top to be president. And then within that season or within the season afterwards, like all of a sudden, all that shit that he had done was going to come collapsing down on him. But basically, nowadays, it's like, hey, we have this show about this president who's just a fucking asshole, and that's it. And it's like, well, he's just an ass. Like, I don't need a... Like, why do I care about this fucking asshole?
Yeah, like in Game of Thrones, you're watching it to be like, man, one of these days, these fucking Lannisters are going to get theirs.
And
you'll
it's
see.
Finally starting to happen.
Maybe. Well, I mean, like, we'll obviously see. But, like, you know, you watch it. Half of it's watching good characters succeed and bad characters get their comeuppance. And
sure.
Sometimes neither happens.
But that's the thing with Game of Thrones is, like, you do get those rewards, though, right? Like, I mean, I don't know if this is the Purple Wedding. Is that? I've heard...
Is it last season?
No. It's when the kid chokes on the thing.
Oh, season four.
Yeah,
okay.
And the kid chokes on
that's
this thing.
Close enough. We're going to leave it at that.
That's a payoff, right?
A payoff.
For having to wait four seasons for this fucking kid to choke on a thing.
Yeah.
yeah,
there's a lot, like, last season, a lot of good payoffs involving a certain other guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But my point is, House of Cards doesn't seem to have that. It's just basically these pieces of shit getting away with being pieces of shit the whole time. So.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Baby Driver, it's got Kevin Spacey. got Jamie Foxx. Watching that movie, I'm like, God, Jamie Foxx is a great actor.
He is. Holy shit. And John Hamm.
Like, I've always thought Jamie Foxx was a good actor, but I was watching this movie and just seeing how he just commands everything he's in, it's like, God damn, he's a good
He's
actor.
Really great, yeah.
It's like, I was just thinking about him and Django Unchained and being like, he couldn't be any different.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, wow, what a good actor. And yeah. John Hamm.
And John Hamm was good. I mean, John Hamm was John Hamm.
He was like, you know, steely cold John Hamm, but...
Right. Well...
A nice cold slab of ham sometimes what you need.
And I appreciated the haircut they went with John Hamm.
I like that haircut.
It's just ridiculous.
Boy, that's the trendy haircut nowadays.
Yeah.
You know what sucks is I've always liked that haircut, except I never got one, and now, like, I feel like I could pull it off, but... Now everyone's got it, and it was super late 2000s or 2010s or whatever. It's like, oh, man, now I can never have that haircut.
The funny thing about that haircut is I feel like it's going to be one of those, like, mullet situations.
Exactly. It's like it's a haircut that's so of the time that everyone's going to be like, oh, man, I can't believe I had that haircut. Now I can't have it anymore.
Yeah.
It's fine. Well, I mean, the people also, they do a little extreme. They're shaving their heads all the way.
Right.
Like, I'm not like that. Like, that's a bit too much.
Yeah.
But still. It's like I've always kind of liked that long on top, slick back look.
Yeah.
For some reason, I just never did it.
I've told you that I've shaved my head before.
I've shaved
times.
My head, too. You've seen me shave my head on
That's
accident.
That's right. That's right. I forgot about that.
Fun story. So this is the story involving that. So one time, I was going to give my hair, like, a nice reset. I was kind of bored with this. And so I have, like, my own set of clippers, and so I was just giving it a nice little long buzz, sort of.
Uh-huh.
Just nice to get back to normal, start to develop a new hairstyle, I guess. And then I was like, oh, it's a little uneven one side. Not knowing
wow.
that I had taken off the attachment.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'll touch that real quick. Whoops. Giant hole. Just big old squares, row in my head. I'm like, well, now I got to shave my entire head all the way down.
God. Yeah.
And so my head was pretty cold for a few weeks.
I can imagine.
Thankfully, it was summer.
There you go, man.
And thankfully, I was unemployed at the time, so I didn't have to buy shampoo anymore.
Well, you know, this L.A. heat, man. You know, this L.A. heat. Got to stay out of the heat. Shave your head.
Yeah, that was like a few months after we first met. That was a long time ago.
That was, yeah. Oh, yeah. 2015. Yeah. Wow. Time goes by fast.
Yeah,
man.
Hair
Holy
grows
shit.
Out.
I remember that place, you know, that, well, whatever. Never mind.
It's gone.
I was going to talk about pulled pork sandwiches because... At lunch, I'd always get these pulled pork sandwiches.
Didn't you used to get Subway every day?
Well, there was that, or pulled... But, like, okay, for anybody who doesn't know what the fuck I'm talking about, Alex and I used to work at the same studio.
Mm.
A couple different studios, actually. But there was this little cafe in the building complex.
Yeah. It's just some Hollywood stuff and such, you know.
Yeah, and, like, once a week, they'd have these pulled pork sandwiches.
Cantina.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
And then Jason Alexander walked out and, like, was in that eating area
yeah.
that one day, which was also cool.
And one time, Weird Al was there at a different place.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh my God.
That's right.
Well, we're rubbing shoulders with all sorts of Hollywood such and such.
Literally, I just run up to these people and I just go, hey!
Hey! Rub their shoulders and like, what the fuck? Fire that man. And so when they come back, you have to hide in the other room.
Oh, comes back around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, so Baby Driver, so you would put it lower on his...
I was going to say it's probably my least favorite Edgar Wright movie, but it's still a really good movie. And I think that opinion probably will change once I see it again, because I'm obviously going to buy it and watch it again.
Mm.
It's a good movie.
I kind of have to rewatch World's End. It's been a long time.
I liked World's End.
I did too, but I feel like I should give it another... I liked it a lot. Like
And I feel like that's the one that people don't talk about as much. They always, you know, Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz get all this love, but World's End doesn't really...
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Should give it another shot. I mean, like, that feels like I'm saying, like, I didn't like it. Like, I loved it, but it's just I don't own it, so I haven't seen it.
Oh, gotcha.
So I should really buy it. Because I own Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, and Scott Pilgrim, so I watch those ones a lot, and I just don't own World's End, because I kind of... was like, well, I should really just buy the whole trilogy on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Because I only have ones on DVD, and so I haven't gotten around to it, because like, oh, I don't want to spend $30 on this whole thing, and so I'll
do
it later, because I'm lazy. And, you know.
That's the thing.
You can't just go be throwing around 30s all the time.
Right, yeah. I have the three of them on DVD, but I don't have it on Blu-ray, so. But, whatever.
Yeah. Why don't we do one more? One more real fast fastball.
This is what we call, in the industry, this is what we call a little quickie.
All right, so this is a movie full of razzle dazzle and much McCullough. The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Oh, The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Did you see The Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
I did see The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
That was one of my favorite movies of 2015.
Guy Ritchie directed. Henry Cavill not being Superman.
Yeah, he's going to be in that Mission Impossible 6 with a fine mustache also, speaking of spy movies.
He's going to be in Mission Impossible 6,
yeah,
huh?
He's rocking a stash, a nice British man stash.
Interesting.
Going back to his British roots.
Sort of disappoints me. Does that take him out of the running for, like, a possible James Bond thing?
Well, if he's in The Man from U.N.C.L.E., that's kind of the same thing, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. I guess sort of in the same sense that, like, Remington Steele was Pierce Brosnan's sort of, like, vetting for James Bond.
I hope not. I hope he... Well, I don't know. There's lots of actors going to be James Bond, so I'm like... Henry Cavill's on the mind because I think he's fantastic, but if they got someone else, it'd probably be...
Adrian Brody.
No. He'd probably be pretty good.
That one kid from High School Musical whose name I'm forgetting right now.
Zac Efron.
As James Bond.
I recall hearing that, maybe I'm making this up and I'm thinking of something different, but I think they asked Adam West to be James Bond, and he's like, no, they should be an English guy.
I take it this is back in the 60s
this
and
is the 60s,
not
yeah.
recently.
No, this is the 60s. Well, he's unfortunately.
Well, R.I.P., yeah, but.
No, this is the 60s, and he's like, no, this should be someone British.
There should be someone British.
Yeah.
I'm not British.
It's pretty good, actually.
You know that he was in an episode of Batman, the Animated Series?
He was the Grey Ghost.
Yeah, the Grey Ghost.
Yeah.
Good memory. Hey, there you go.
I know things.
Yeah.
Because it was like Batman's inspiration. It's like,
childhood hero, yeah. Fun. But that episode sort of did not make any sense because the Grey Ghost was like, some serial that Bruce Wayne watched as a kid called The Grey Ghost, but then he caught up with The Grey Ghost, who was actually a crime fighter or some shit.
Don't worry about it.
It was a weird episode.
I like the episode of The Simpsons where Adam West is like, why doesn't Batman dance anymore?
It's true. Why doesn't he dance?
Well, hey, Matt Reeves' Batman might be dancing all over the place.
Oh,
dancing
yeah.
The storm. Who never knows? Now that after having seen the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes tonight, we'll definitely see War of the Planet of the Apes. I'm pretty excited to see what he does next.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, like, well, too late for that, but he would be great at doing a Star War. Like a mainline Star War.
I agree with that, yeah.
He'd be an excellent choice for one of those.
No, I agree. Those Planet of the Apes movies are fucking solid movies.
They're solid as fuck. And they also don't have as much they have style without being razzle dazzle that, you know, that would just detract from a mainline Star Wars.
Right.
Like, you know, while I was thinking, people like, well, like, oh man, wouldn't it be great like David Fincher to Star Wars? No, it would be terrible. I mean, like,
no.
you could have him do one, but no, it would be terrible. It just wouldn't work.
Yeah, it'd be too many, like, you know.
Same with Spielberg. Spielberg, I don't want to see him do an episode of Star Wars episode just because he's got such a... It's too big. He's too big of a director for the material.
Listen, if it was David Fincher directing Star Wars, it would be like just an unsettling John Boyega for the whole... It'd be like just these like slowly trucking in shots of John Boyega frowning with fucking Nine Inch Nails remixed Star Wars scores. And then everybody being an asshole to everybody else.
Yep.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? Oh, yeah. Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Man from U.N.C.L.E. Good movie.
Yes,
one of Guy Ritchie's better movies.
I thought so. I got great chemistry between all the leads. Got Armie Hammer. That's another Armie Hammer movie.
Oh, yeah. About. Scratch that off my list.
Yeah, scratch it. He's great in that. you got Alicia Vikander. She's great in that.
Yeah.
She's going to be Tomb Raider.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
You know, I've been thinking, man, when are they going to make another Tomb Raider movie? That's what I want.
I don't understand. Like, Tomb Raider is no... I don't, I played the new Tomb Raider, and it's a good game. They're good games. It's like, I don't see the narrative draw.
Right.
So.
People often forget what made Tomb Raider popular franchise
in the
first place.
Well, they kind of got rid of that. Thankfully, they've gotten rid of that now.
Thankfully, they have gotten rid of that, but it also is not the sensation that it was, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because people are perverts, especially kids playing video games.
Indeed. but yeah, I thought that was really well done. I loved it in the climax of the movie where they're storming the base and this like 30-second montage.
Yeah.
You're done. It's like, oh, thank God we don't have to waste time with this. We all know what's gonna happen. Shit.
Yeah.
That's why I loved in King Arthur when it's like his growing up montage and going to the land of the dead.
Best
like,
part of the movie.
It's like, gap, we're done.
Those are both, yeah, that. And I'm looking forward to Aladdin, the Guy Ritchie Aladdin.
Oh, man. Him, like, jumping through the streets.
I wish he was like John Statham as Aladdin. Or Jason Statham as.
I couldn't tell if you were talking about John Stamos or Jason Statham.
John Stamos as Aladdin and
hey,
Jason
Statham.
Hey,
he kind of looks like Aladdin, doesn't he?
Well, I mean,
you know, Aladdin was based off of then Tom Cruise, so you can get now Tom Cruise, who looks exactly the same, pretend to be like an 18-year-old Aladdin.
Yeah, that'd be unsettling.
You know, they'll probably get that kid that was in Pirates of the Caribbean with the eyebrows.
The latest one that I didn't see.
Excuse
me, the latest one that I didn't bother seeing.
He's like Hollywood's newest scamp.
Scamp.
Like he plays an Aladdin-esque character in Gods of Egypt. Also,
oh yeah.
Just put him in a vest. He's
He's
jumping on rooftops. I hope they have some sick parkour in that movie. I really hope. I don't even mention if it's a musical, but I'd love to see a Guy Ritchie musical.
And Elizabeth Hurley's triumphant return as the genie. That's what I want to see.
What?
That's what I want to see.
Oh,
I want to see
the
genie.
Bedazzled.
I want to see. No, I just Elizabeth Hurley popped into my mind. I'm like, huh? She hasn't been in anything because she's not much of an actress. But hey. Let's have this be her triumphant return.
Nah, it's okay. Be Brendan Fraser, though. Speaking of bedazzled, have him be the genie.
That would be fun.
You know,
Hugh Grant?
Everyone's talking about...
Nervous genie?
Nah, actually, that sounds annoying. Everyone's talking about, oh man, get Brendan Fraser back and stuff. It's like, I do like Brendan Fraser, but come on.
You know what he would be good for is like a family-friendly, like weeknight... hour-long, like, sitcom, dramedy.
He's a guy who should be in, like, fucking Fargo. Like a nice, quiet drama on television.
Oh, he would make a good Fargo cop.
Yeah, exactly. He'd be great in one of those shows.
Oh.
Like, that's where I think his career should have gone.
Yeah. That's
interesting. Like a True Detective type thing? Like a
True
nice,
Detective?
Well, like,
yeah.
You know, like something like he plays like a side character, you know? Like
Move
a,
over Woody Harrelson.
Like
throw
a,
Brandon
like,
Fraser.
Like whatever Vince Vaughn was in season 2.
Ugh. Okay, season 2, though.
No, I'm not like that. I'm just saying, like, you know, just like he shows up and he's an important character.
Yeah. I mean, True Detective, though, I mean... All the characters in that are super serious, like no charm whatsoever. They're like dark characters, right?
He should be what Stephen Root is all the time, where he just shows up. Stephen Root, you might know him. Well, in No Country for Old Men, he's like the guy that owns that company. He's like
the
is
guy
he
that
da-
owns
like is he
the
dangerous?
Company.
And then Woody Harrelson's like, "Oh, dangerous!" Like, "Well, then like the bubonic plague." You know that guy?
Yeah.
And they get shot?
Uh-huh.
That guy. Like, he's in everything.
So I have Brandon Fraser.
I wanted to use a more dramatic role, because I think he's more known for being the Stapler guy in Office Space.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
He's also in True Blood. He, like, shows up all the time. He's a fantastic actor.
He was on News Radio, right?
Sure.
I think. Anyways. Have Brandon Fraser, you know, just a tertiary character, you know what I mean?
Or a Tarantino fan, I don't know.
He's pumping the gas at the gas station or something.
He could be like that character in Wayne's World 2. It's like, that one wonderful summer on whatever street that was.
Yeah.
Because that was Charlton Heston.
Right.
You know, it must suck for the first actor to have to act bad and then be known as the bad actor from Wayne's World 2.
Well, I mean, it was all in good fun, though,
yeah,
right?
But still, it's like, oh, you're that shitty actor from Wayne's World 2.
You're the shitty guy.
But I was acting bad on purpose. You know what's a great movie for acting bad on purpose? Waiting for Guffman.
Yeah.
That's a great, let's watch actors act bad on purpose. Do you think actors like acting bad on purpose?
I don't think actors like acting bad on purpose.
Because that's like, I can imagine the same thing where it's like, can you make this thing look like shit? It's like, oh god, it's so hard.
Unless it's like SNL or something. You know what I mean? I think that's like what SNL's for.
Sort of. Well,
like,
I remember like there was
around.
A thing where it's like, can you do like one of those, like, you know, on like Taiwan they have like those shitty news animations, right?
Uh-huh.
I remember one time they were like, How could you do that? I'm like, I could, but it'd be really hard.
No.
It's like, how do you make shit? Like, how do you, there are things, like, I had to do stuff like removing detail off of 2D objects. And, like, it's like, how do you make something look crappier? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like once you learn an instrument and someone tells you to play it shittily.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, how do you do, yeah.
Because then you're also at the risk of, like, it's like, oh, I play guitar, play it bad. And then it's like, you just go like, brum, brum, brum. But then, like, you're not really playing it bad. Then you're like, you're playing it too bad. And
you're playing it good bad.
It becomes nothing. It's like trying to make a bad movie on purpose. And it becomes actually bad.
Well.
Like so bad it's not, anyway, it's like, it's convincing at that point.
Well, okay, this is what I'll say real quick, is movies that try to be bad, you can always tell that they're trying to be bad. Like Sharknado, you remember when everybody was like all in a Sharknado?
The first one, and that was it.
And it was like, I watched Sharknado, I'm like, oh, okay, so they're trying to make a bad movie, but they actually made a movie that, I don't know. Yeah, it just doesn't work. If you're trying to be bad, there's like authenticity that's missing.
Yeah, there's no,
naivete.
It's the kitsch, is the thing. And yeah, it requires a degree of sort of sincerity, right?
Sincerity, yeah.
So, like, you make something shitty, like, oh, look, I put a bunch of macaroni on this piece of paper, it's art. You did that because you want to make good art.
Yeah.
And it looks like garbage, but...
Yeah.
If you do that, it's like, oh, look at me, I'm making garbage art, then it's just not fun anymore.
Yeah, there's something to be said about a non-player trying to be a player, and a player trying to be a non-player. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah. So.
It's like, if you're great at basketball, trying to, like, you know, oh, I gotta play against all these, like, 14-year-old kids. Let me just, like, dribble badly. It's like, you're not fooling anyone.
How elegant your bad dribble is.
Yes. Anyways, Matt Munkle, 4 stars, the best movie of your all time.
Sure.
No, it's not. But it's a great movie. People were shitting on it, and I don't know why.
It's not for everybody.
It's not for everyone, no. But, like, well, not, like, people are doing, like, oh, I heard it's bad, and I won't go see it. It's like, no, go see it. Go see it.
Yeah, I honestly, definitely go see it. But yeah, I can see where people don't. I can see where some people don't like
even
it.
You got like 65% around tomatoes, and that's not even that bad.
Yeah,
you have a 65% chance of not hating that movie. That's good odds.
yeah,
I don't like it when people are like, "Oh, this movie looks bad." I just feel like you see every movie regardless.
If you have time, the money, of course. Yeah.
You gotta be selective.
I mean, I can't, you know, I can't go out and see every movie, but...
I try to see as much as I can.
Yeah.
Even the bad ones. Well, anyways.
Assassin's Creed.
Well, that was your... You invited me then. I was not...
Such a fun time.
I was not gonna go see that until you invited me.
Such a fun time.
So this is your fault. I had that in my memory.
It was such a fun time.
No, it wasn't. All right, so, I think that's it. I think it's the end of the show.
I think that's the end of the show, folks.
Anyways, here's our email address. FilmTasticVoyage@gmail.com.
Oh, that's
also,
nice and convenient.
FilmTasticVoyage.com. Also, FilmTasticVoyage Facebook page. And the rest.
Yeah, listen, folks. If you want to get your kicks, all right? We're part of the Lemmy Listen Podcast Network. That's on SoundCloud. That's that's also, you know, they're on website.
Yeah.
We're on iTunes. Hey! Leave us some ratings. Check out the rest of the programming. Tell your friends. Leave some comments.
Yeah, we got pumped up kicks.
We got pumped up kicks.
Right over here. Tell your friends, as I said. All right. Well, until next week, I've been Pals.
And I'm your new friend, Mike.
See you around.